Phil came to me one day. He says, "Dad, I'm in love." And I said, "Oh, Phil." That, and you and I all know that we're married now, but when we're dating, that's dangerous ground. So if you have your Bible this morning, we are in Psalm 40. Psalm 40, and we will be reading verses 11 through 17. We did 1 through 10 last week. We will finish the psalm this week, Psalm 11 through 17, verses 11 through 17, Psalm 40. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's on page 618. We'll do a little bit of review and get into some new material. And why don't you stand with me, please, as we read Psalm 40, verse 11. And the Bible says, "Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame, that they say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and for its relevance today. It's as new today as it was when it was written. It applies to our hearts and lives. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to those that are hurting this morning, those that are going through challenges, as innumerable troubles could be surrounding them. I hope that they would take courage from your word today and know that you are thinking of them, caring for them. And you've got this. So help us, Lord, as we understand your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So last week, we started out in verse number 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Now, he did some things. We'll talk about the things that he did, but I want you to know that the Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me. One of the things that we do poorly as Christians is wait. Wouldn't you agree with that? We do that poorly as Americans, is wait. And what we want is, one of the reasons why we don't pray as we should is because we get this crazy idea that prayer doesn't work because we asked for it this morning and we didn't get it by this evening. And that's not how God operates. The psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord. It doesn't give us a time frame on this, but I want you to know that God is not on your time frame. He's not on your clock. He's not punching in and punching out. He's always there. He's always engaged. He's always doing something. He never has a day off. And he will answer your prayers. But sometimes, and many times, you have to wait. Why is that? Well, this isn't in my notes, but a lot of times in the waiting is the lesson. In the waiting is the learning. And sometimes, and I'll get to it in point number 2 this morning, is that we don't allow lessons to be learned if we intercept ahead of time and try to help in the process. Sometimes we need to be up for the struggle. Sometimes we need to learn some things from what is taking place. So before we talk about some of the troubles, the innumerable troubles that our evils that our text talks about this morning, last week we talked about the wonderful things the Lord did for David. He took him out of a pit. In verse 2, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. We said last week he took us from a pit to a path. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you're saved and you know it, say amen. Now, you have a testimony that you were in a pit. You were on your way to hell. We said a pit is either a grave or a place that you are stuck in that you need help to get out of. We've all been there, whether it's a snowbank or whether it's stuck in the mud on a farm tractor, if you grew up in that type of thing or not. But sometimes you need help. Somebody comes along, and I told the story. The rescue is when God comes along with his wrecker, if you will. He does recovery work. He hooks the winch cable on, and he pulls you out of the ditch, and he sets you on the road, and hopefully the recovery takes place, and you get to go in the direction that you're supposed to be going in. We have a tow truck operator in the church that took me to task last week that you didn't mention that that was not me that did such a lousy job. And so I just want you to know that no one attending this church had anything to do with my story from last week. Is I won't say his name, but his initials are Mike Tozier. And you can, and so it didn't even occur to me that he would think that. But anyway, so we're, yeah, thanks for clearing that up, he says. Yeah. God is good. So he put us on a path. Not only did he put us on a path, if you look at verse number 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. A new song in our heart. Listen to Psalm 32:7 says, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Psalm 33:3 says, "Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise." So we got a new song and a loud noise. One of the complaints that we get, if I can just air out some laundry here in church this morning, it's not our church, it's every church. One of the songs, they don't sing the old songs anymore. All they want to sing is new songs. Well, it's a biblical command to sing a new song, okay? Now, the new song obviously is referring to the new song in your life. Would you agree this morning that you're different, your life is different now after Christ than before Christ? That's a new song. Also, it says play with a loud noise. Loud noise. It says loud noise, King James Version. King James cannot lie. Huh? Which it's right here, verse. No, it says, verse Psalm 33:3. Look it up. I'm reading right here from the "Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise." Skillfully with a loud noise. So, I'm just saying, could somebody, no, never mind. So, ushers, will you remove this woman from the front row over here? So, I... There are things that I believe that we ought to shout about, that we ought not to keep quiet about, that we, if you will, I'm not, you know, that I never say the word I'm proud of certain things, but there's a phrase loud and proud, okay? And I'll tell you what, you ought to be loud and proud about the God you serve. There is nothing wrong with being proud of Almighty God. Sending his son to take my place on, I am proud of that. Now, the rest of it, I'm not proud of anything else. I'm pleased with, I'm blessed with, but pride comes before the fall. You be careful what you're proud about, but don't you be ashamed to be even loud and proud about Almighty God. And that's what's happened, is he's taken us from a pit, he's put us on a path, he's given us a new song, he's changed our life, and not only that, he takes us from terror to trust. That blessed is that man, verse 4, that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Isaiah 40, 28 to 31 says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord of the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary?" And then verse 31, I'll go along on. Remember, I waited patiently in verse 1. Isaiah 40, 31 says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Isaiah 41, 10 says, "Fear thou not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee." You know, growing up, one of the things that is wonderful is if you were privileged to grow up in a home that had a mom and a dad that was a man. And I grew up in a home where my dad was a man. And he wasn't afraid to confront trouble if trouble existed. He wasn't afraid to say it like it was. He didn't apologize for what we believed. And I didn't care what situation I was in as a child. When I was young, I felt like my dad could move a mountain if necessary. And I think that's the kind of faith that if you're privileged to grow up in a home like that, then the transfer of that as an adult, when you realize that's who your heavenly father is. He's that kind of dad. He's that kind of man in your life that will never leave you or forsake you, that you can trust in him. And so I'd walk into a room as a kid. If I was with my dad, there was no situation. And I had an active imagination, and you know, and I had a lot of scenarios I'd play out in my mind of bad guys coming in, and we'd take them down and beat them up and call the police and different things going on. And I got all that from the confidence I had in my father. And I want you to know there is no situation, if Jesus Christ has saved you, if God Almighty is your heavenly Father, he said he will never leave you. You are never alone. You are constantly walking in the company of your heavenly Father and your Savior who gave his life for you. And I'm telling you, whatever the situation is, it can be handled through Almighty God. I believe that. Now, will it go like you expect it to? That's not been my experience. Life has not gone like I thought it would, and I've done this before, but anybody here that is over 40 years old, that life has gone exactly like you thought it would? How about anybody here over 30? 20? 10? You find out early on, I've decided that anything older than, life really starts going downhill at 10 years old. After that, you know, up until 10, things are pretty good. But after 10, you start to realize that life just isn't. So here we are. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. He took us from a pit to a path. He's given us a song. We can trust in him. And while David was celebrating those truths, and this is all good, and you think, wow, this is great. Let's just go home and celebrate. No, it didn't stop there. Verse number 11 says that withhold not thy tender mercies from me. David, I thought you already had those. We just talked about those. He said, O Lord, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Why? For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Trouble has come. Let me tell you something. If your life's going great right now, it's a temporary situation. You will come to a bend in the road. It happens. And you, and many, many times through no fault of yours. We live in a sinful world. Good things happen to bad people, and bad things happen to good people, and life is not fair. Say that with me. Life is not fair. And for some politician that wants to come along and promise you fairness in life, do not vote for them. They are a liar. It cannot be done. They are godless. Life's not fair. The only one that can fix it is Jesus Christ. And he doesn't promise to fix this life. He promises to give us a good one in the next one. In this life, we just learn to trust him, lean on him, and take whatever happens and know that he's got it. Life's not fair. David says, innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold of me so that I am not able to look up. They're more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth in me. This is a struggling verse. He said, I've got more problems and more than you can list on you. But he's talking about the hairs of his head. Now, for some of you, that wouldn't be very many, but for most people, that's trouble. So, point number one, I live a new life in Christ. That's the blessings in the first part. Point number two, though a child of God, I live in an old world of sin. So I've got a new life in the old world. That's what's going on. Paul, possibly the greatest Christian that ever lived, wrote this in 2 Corinthians 4:8, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Trouble happens so Christians can shine. That's what he's saying. So that the life of Jesus can be seen in my life. The guy that's living the dream with plenty of money in the bank, driving a new car, no trials in the world, everybody looks at that. The world says, aha, see, that's what you want to look for. You know what the greatest testimony is? It's those that have been through tough times and still lean on their Savior. That's the one that matters. 1 of the great disservices we do, and I touched on this a little bit earlier, is that we shelter people, especially our young people, from trouble to the point that they have no clue how to handle it when trouble comes. Because we know trouble's going to happen. And so as we are raising our kids, and I'm as guilty of that, this is the next dad, but the first thing you see them struggle, and you think, oh, I can fix that, I can help that. You know what? They need the struggle. I got in trouble with Al a few years back when one of my kids was little. They fell into a toy box. It was Cody. And he was struggling to get out. And I'm sitting there in the chair watching him. Let him struggle. We'll see how he does. And he's thrashing around and he's trying to get out and he's little. And then after church, he comes up to me, would you have done that if it was your daughter? You know, and I don't know. She was never stuck in a toy box. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. Parent, you do a great disservice to your kids if you rescue them every time trouble comes. They need to feel some pain once in a while. They get hurt. What the old saying, rub some dirt in it. Come on, toughen up. And there's no question, I'm the tough and she's the tender in our house. There's no getting around it. She's always trying to... Oh, stop that. They'll live. And I've got stories that I've told before that I will not repeat that probably I've done the wrong thing at times, but trying to make them tough. Here's a list of things that happen, and you'll be able to relate to this. Family members die. Your girlfriend or boyfriend will probably dump you. When you're at the dating scene, oh, Phil came to me one day and he says, Dad, I'm in love. And he married the woman he's in love with, so this is a safe story. He comes into my office, I'm sitting at my desk, and he says, Dad, I'm in love. And I said, oh, Phil, this... I'm telling you, it's... that. And you and I all know that we're married now, but when we're dating, that's dangerous ground. There's a good chance that bad things will happen in that. I'm just telling you guys, girls, family members die, your girlfriend or boyfriend will probably dump you. You probably will be fired from a job at some point or laid off. Everybody is. Your car will die. You may not have the money to fix it. Christians will disappoint you. Friends will forsake you. And when it's all said and done, eventually you'll die. And that could be today. You excited about life? Those are the realities of life, folks. Don't think for a second we sit back and think that only happens to the other people. That'll never happen to me. That's not how it is. And if you don't have a rock-solid faith to say, I believe that God has a plan for my life, and he will sustain me no matter what takes place. If you don't have that, Satan will come in as a thief who wants to steal and kill and destroy. And you know why suicide rates are so high? Is because we coddled so many of our kids that when the real world hit them, they didn't know how to handle it. It's horrible. I am sorry teenagers are hurting, but you know what? The teenage years stink. They do. You just got to get through them. You're learning some lessons that are tough. That's why hopefully you have a mom and a dad that'll come along and give you good advice and you won't believe them. You'll do the Mark Twain thing. Mark Twain says, when I was a teenager, I couldn't believe how stupid my father was. And then by the time I was in my mid-20s, he said, I looked back and it was amazing how much he had learned. It's the truth. There are hard times in life. I live a new life in Christ, but though a child of God, I live in an old sinful world. So how do I handle that? How do I avoid the pitfalls of the devil that God wants to rescue you from? Well, turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 4. That's on page 1260 in your pew Bible, Philippians chapter 4. This is a tremendous passage that I want us to see. Philippians 4, in verse number 6. And I'm still hearing pages turn. I'll give you just a little bit more time. Philippians 4, verse number 6. The Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." You know, one thing, immature people complain and whine and ask for things. Immature people, that's what they do. They need to grow up. Grown-up people recognize that trouble comes, that God is faithful, and grown-up believers, mature Christians, thank God in every situation. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. And watch this, verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then it gives you, rather than all those negative things that we just talked about, that list I gave you that was completely accurate, here's some things to think about. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise," what's it say? "Think on these things." When your mind starts to wander about the negative things in your life, why not memorize Philippians 4 and verse number 8 and think about those things? Honest, true, lovely, good report. Those are the things that God provides that can sustain you when the evils continually surround you and Satan's trying to feed these lies in your ear that this only happens to you. No one else has ever experienced this kind of thing. Obviously, the Lord has forsaken you. You can believe in Him, but He's not as trustworthy as He wants you to think. And all those little lies and lies and lies and lies and lies, get thee behind me, Satan. Do not give him the time of day. You walk away from that. You get yourself into God's Word, and you be fed the truth that the Lord wants you to hear and not the lies that the world will try to program into you and tell you, you deserve better. Life's not fair. Vote for me. We'll have a total transformation of America and it will be wonderful. Well, you know what? I see the transformation taking place in America right now and it's not wonderful because it's a satanic lie that they're shoveling to you. There's a huge difference going on out there, and the choices are becoming more and more clear. When I was young, you know, the two parties weren't a whole lot different. But I'll tell you what, there's a huge difference now. You say, well, Stan, you can't preach this stuff from the pulpit. That's politics. Consider this. I believe the church is the conscience of government. The church needs to be the conscience of government. And when your conscience tells you something you don't want to hear, what do they want to do? They want to bury the conscience. They want to get rid of the conscience. And the government is making every step it can right now with the current regime going on that they want to bury the church. They want the drag queens and all of that society to be right out on public display in a total affront to civility, to morality, to God-fearing Americans. They hate us. They hate that crowd. And you've got to recognize the battle that we are in, and shame on us for not speaking out about it. That's the evil that is surrounding us right now, and it's surrounding the church. And the church had better speak out or there'll be no church. Scares me. And I'm not afraid, but I'm so disappointed in what I hear Christians talking about. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are. Along with that, if you write in the margin of your Bible, Philippians 4 in verse 8, of all those things, I have in the margin of my Bible, Isaiah 26:3. Isaiah 26:3, write that along beside Philippians 4:8 if you write in your Bible. That is, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And I've just found one of the great things, no matter what's on the news, no matter what you're seeing take place, no matter what the elections are, and obviously we need to stay involved in those things, but when it's all said and done, at the end of the day, when I sit down and I've got my wife and my family and my home and my stuff that God has trusted me with, I take great peace in knowing that he's in charge. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. I live with the knowledge of one other thing that I want you to see in Isaiah chapter 40. Hope you haven't lost your place there. In Isaiah chapter 40, in our text, look at the last verse, verse 17. In verse number 5, he says, "Many are thy thoughts to usward." Okay? And that's in verse number 5. But look at verse 17. I'm poor and needy. If you'll be honest, I don't care how much money is in your bank account, you and I in this world are poor and needy. We need the Lord. Without him, we got nothing. Christ said, without me, you can do nothing, and that's the truth. Nothing of any eternal value. We accomplish nothing without the Lord. Sad to say, those apart from Christ are accomplishing zero. Nothing will last that they're doing. I don't care who you, Bill Gates, I don't care what he's accomplished. I don't care about Microsoft, all of those things are not eternal. What's eternal is what we do for Jesus Christ. We're accomplishing nothing apart from God. So here we are. And verse number 17, before I read it, do you ever get a call from someone now and then, say, hey, I was thinking of you, or I prayed for you this morning? I get calls like that from time to time. I am extremely honored when people send me a note. You folks send cards to me and stuff at times. Very little cash, but a lot of cards. And somebody will send me a dollar this week, you watch. But you know, isn't it a privilege when you find out someone was thinking of you and they're thinking, you know, they're not mad, they were thinking good thoughts. It's amazing to me, but watch what happens in verse number 17, and we're going to close with this. I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. You know something? God himself thinks of you. You're on his mind. I don't know what greater honor there is. You know, I'm a Ronald Reagan fan, and I thought, possibly the greatest president that ever lived. I don't think that guy ever thought of me once. He didn't even know my name. Now that he's in heaven, he's probably hearing a lot about me because they talk about me up there, but, you know. But I just ponder that this afternoon, this evening. God's thinking about you. What it'll do, it'll encourage you. And another thing, it might clean up your life. God's thinking about you. He's watching you. Not because he wants to see if you're getting away with anything. That's not the point. He loves you. There's nothing you're going through right now that he doesn't care about. There's no experience, no trial, no test that if you'll wait on him, he'll see you through it. Spurgeon said, if you preach to hurting people, you'll never lack for an audience. And this is a room full of hurting people for different reasons. Got a family over here that buried a dad yesterday. Got a family down here that's looking at a very serious surgery. That's just, we get the brand new babies that, you know, what kind of world are they going to grow up in? Does that ever concern you? It does me. All of those things, you know, only thing you can do is take those things and say, Lord, this is what I got. Will you take it, please? And you can only have the privilege of doing that is if you're part of God's family. And the only way you can be part of God's family is if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and forgive my sins. I'm not talking about being a good person. I'm not talking about doing more good than bad. I'm not talking about I talked to someone, oh yes, I believe that. I'm a very spiritual person. Well, no offense, but so is Satan. As being a spiritual person does not save you. Trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior saves you. There is no other way. And if you'll trust him, say these words, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Now you're part of God's family. And I'll tell you what, God watches out for his family. He's thinking of you.